Super Bowl champions of Super Bowl 58 and Super Bowl 57. They call that a back-to-back. They call that a brace in soccer for a hat trick that is the third. They go for the three-peat next year in history. No team in history of the NFL has won three straight. Is that what Pete said tonight?
This is the truth.
Okay.
Yeah. Not in the Super Bowl era anyway. I think like there were some NFC.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Pittsburgh won 4 in 5 years or 4 in 6 years?
Yeah, they went two and two.
Yeah.
They went back to back twice.
Or two didn't go, then 2 and 1. Yeah. It's crazy to think, man.
History in the making.
Just a special time to be alive and even more so to be a Chiefs fan. Josh and OP, go ahead and let the world hear your voice.
What's going on, Dusty, man? Nice to have you on, as always, in the late night spot. I just want to touch base on a couple of things, man. This team is really like a scrap heap bunch of team, right? Like Nick Allegretti filling in for Joe Tooney with a torn pec. Joe Tooney's an all-world guard, my friend, and he stepped in admirably. I mean, you lose Derek Nnadi, who's probably your best run defender. Mike Pinnell comes in completely off the scrap heap, and he's just in there. Like, he's in the backfield getting penetration. Beautiful thing. Mecole Hardman, game-winning touchdown. Scrap heap. Jets didn't want him. We got him for, like, a ham sandwich, bro. NBA people wanted to run him out of town with, like, the scarecrows, and he had just such a great playoff. Like, I can't even hate on him for that. But, like, coming up clutch with his catch. I mean, like, it goes on and on. And the thing is that we're only going to get better because our defense is young. And so they're just going to get better. You just resign who you got to resign. George Karlaftis, when he came out of the draft, people were saying, that, oh, he didn't have any band or this, that, and the other. Nick Bolton, we got him for, like, a ham sandwich from the Bills. And we got, from the Ravens when we got Orlando Brown. Like, Brett Veach is making some masterful moves. Mike Edwards, just to name a few, man. I'm just so excited about the next, like, 5 years with Pat. If there's ever a GOAT debate, just think about this. The man, if he would have played his first year, where would we be at? His worst case scenario has been the AFC Championship in overtime. I rest my case, Dust. Have a good one, man. I'll see you on the links. Late.
Take care, Josh. Anytime on the links, man. I need to do more of that. That's my goal, is to play more golf with more listeners. I'm going to do that. We're going to add some production to this show. While we have some downtime, we're going to get our Bryson, our 13-year-old fan. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring him into the studio. And I think we're going to start ladies' night at 8 o'clock.
Let's go.
I think it's 7 o'clock on Thursdays.
7 o'clock on Thursdays?
I got to get the okay from the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sent him an idea. He shut it down. That's the business, right? You have some things that work, some things that don't. But I think he's going to be okay with this.
I think so.
Just bring in a female perspective.
Right.
Don't roll your eyes. I see both of you.
This is wrong. They can't see us.
They're going to know. They're not going to know. They're going to know.
How would they know?
They're going to know. Speaking of knowing and not knowing, there's such a huge advantage to having Andy Reid as head coach, more so than just like hearing him tell you how they, you know, drew up the play and all that sort of thing. And it's just the nonsense of him retiring was whatever, and then immediately when the Super Bowl starts, it's like Andy Reid could be getting an extension after the Super Bowl in the next couple of days. Well, yeah, he's got a well-oiled machine that's not going anywhere anytime, and you saw the difference in that, right? Like, you saw the second half, Kyle Shanahan crumbled, man, and that's not me taking a shot at Kyle Shanahan. I did that on Saturday, and people didn't like it. I said he looks like a guy who dresses like Rob Dyrdek.
Mm-hmm.
He's 44 years old, man. You got to get rid of the flat bill.
Right.
And then Pete Sweeney's like, you going to tell that to B-Dub? And I was like, no, probably not.
Nope.
probably not. He's a professional, right? And he wasn't coaching professionally last night. To get the ball in overtime is a mistake, because you don't want to give Patrick Mahomes time to see what he needs to do.
Right. Don't like
put him on the spot.
You don't want to be the one who's setting, you want to make them set the tone. And if they come out and exactly what happens the reverse way,
right,
you're in a much better spot. You've got four downs to play with. The whole overtime was mismanaged by them. And the fact that the Niners players are saying that they didn't know.
Sad.
It's inexcusable, man. I just saw Justin Reed talking about it, and they were saying they spent about 2 weeks on this in training camp. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it's basic stuff, man. Like, you make it to the playoffs. Hey, new rule change. We're going to go over it. We're going to do some strategy with it. Doesn't have to be much. You could have sent an email out to the team.
Right.
And they at least would have known.
I will say the thing that's the difference is that what you just brought up. Like, Drew Tranquil said that during the Super Bowl meetings, they had, like, a two-hour meeting where that was, like, the conversation. Mm-hmm. Let's say, if we go to overtime, here's where we stand. If we get to this situation, here's what we do. Here's what we do from the coin toss. Here's what we do from the start. If we get the ball, if we don't get the ball, if it's indoors, outdoors. This week, it was in, this year, it was indoors, so the direction didn't really matter. The only thing that I was confused with, which I don't know why I was that when they were running the ball or running the clock down, I was screaming.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, nobody knew. I was hitting the T. They're sitting on
two timeouts.
I was like, timeout. And then I'm thinking to myself, my buddy goes, they don't need to call a timeout. I'm like, oh, yeah. They get a chance no matter what. Even if clock runs out, they would just restart it. And then if they didn't score or didn't get a field goal, the game would have just been over. But if they were to score, a touchdown, game's over, they get a field goal, then the clock just keeps going.
Right.
Which makes me think, thank you, Buffalo. Right?
Right.
Another thing Buffalo did for the Kansas City Chiefs to win a Super Bowl.
Gave Kansas City won another ring.
They gave Kansas City Patrick Mahomes in a trade-up.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Chiefs lose to Brady in the playoffs, and the NFL says to get effed when they asked him about, like, different rules in overtime. They're like, yeah, we'll think about it. Actually, nah, you're fine. And then Kansas City beats Buffalo with 13 seconds left in regulation, and then they get the ball in overtime, score, win. Josh Allen never gets the ball, never touches it. What does Buffalo do? They go to the league, and they complain about overtime rules.
And they whine.
What does the league do? The league changed the rules. And then what happened? We got an overtime game. I think there's only been two, right? The Atlanta and New England one with Kyle Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Kyle Shanahan was in that game. He was the offensive coordinator. Scored 28 points in the first half, never scored again. And then in this game, all the players are saying exactly what Ice Spice said, that they just learned the rules because it was on the Jumbotron.
Right.
And it's like, you look at all that sort of thing and you bring all that kind of stuff up and you bring up this all of everything. And it's like, to not know that and to not have that and to know that Andy Reid was just sitting on that Tom and Jerry corndog play, knowing the exact moment for it, and then the game ends the way it does, it's just interesting.
Well, and it's just, you know, that's the difference in the preparation between a dynasty like the Chiefs and some of these other teams is, like, they have such high sights and goals for themselves that they know, hey, we're probably going to be playing in another Super Bowl.
Right.
This is what we have to do. We have to go over these things, and they're meticulous about it, and that's why you see them in these crunch time situations seem to make the right call when other teams make the wrong call, because they're used to it. They're expecting to be there, and it's not like the Niners don't expect to be there, but, like, that's Andy Reid. I mean, that's what's made him one of the greatest coaches ever, and you can debate about the overtime rules and all of that. Like, on the text line, they're saying, why do they even have a clock? I'm not opposed to that. Like, I think that, like, you should play to the end of the quarter, and if it's still tied, you keep playing. But that's the rules. And let's be real, too. I mean, they scored before the clock ran out anyway. It didn't go to a second overtime, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, it's just it's interesting to see the differences between the Chiefs and Andy Reid and how he runs everything over there versus other teams. And you look at it and you're like, man, it doesn't seem like it would be that difficult to just remember to talk about the new overtime rule with your team. But I guess everybody doesn't have as good as we do in Kansas City.
No, they don't have a head coach waking up every single morning at 4 o'clock in the morning and going to his office.
And you think that man wants to retire?
No.
Stop it.
No, yeah. Why would you?
All he does is coach football. He loves it.
Yeah.
He's going to do it forever.
You know, last segment we were talking about how great the players were and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones and how we're just a tier above the rest, but I don't think we give enough credit to these coaches.
Right.
Because the coaches that we have, they're all qualified to be head coaches. Mm-hmm. Steve Spagnuolo, he's qualified to be
a head coach.
Matt Nagy, he just been came back from the Bears. They're all qualified. So I think that's a big part of this winning culture that we have here in Kansas City. It's not just the players. It's we have an amazing coaching staff.
And I mean, like, even a guy that you didn't mention there, Dave Tope.
Yeah.
He's one of the best. He's the assistant head coach and one of the best special teams coaches in the league. He's gotten interviews before, you know, like, you've got It's a really good point, James. Like, you've got not only like the best quarterback, the best tight end, you've got the best head coach, you've got one of the best defensive coordinators, if not the best defensive coordinator. Like, you've got so many people that are at the top of their profession all in the same place at the same time, and that's when...
And it's not just this year. I mean, don't forget that Eric Bieniemy was
and he's coming head
coaching
back.
Candidate for years.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just keep on stacking up that talent when it comes to coaches and players, and yep. that's how you make a dynasty.
Yeah, text line says Dave Merritt, Dave Tobe, Joe Cullen, all those guys.
Right.
This goes on, no doubt. And it all starts with the guy at the top.
Big Red.
Andy Reid. And you know what goes after that? Brett Veach. Let's have a little Veach ceremony on the other side of the break. That's James, Nick. I'm Dusty. This is After Hours, 610 Sports Radio. Back here on After Hours, 610 Sports Radio. About 40 minutes left. 913-586-7610. It's your show tonight, not ours. That's what we used to quote it.
Yep.
This is your show, not ours.
Red Reaction Show.
That's right.
With Dusty Likens and Nick Price.
And Nick Price. And now James.
And now James.
I want to get into a little bit of Brett Veach, but like I said, this is your all show. You feel free to chime in and give all your words out there. This is my last show for a week. I'm going to get out of here. Get. Neil and Lone Jack, go ahead. Let the people hear your voice.
Hey, guys. Honestly, I don't really have a whole lot of organized thoughts tonight, but just what an amazing win. I was going crazy last night on the post game, and what you might not have understood was I truly believe 100%. I wore Derek Thomas's jersey yesterday, and it's been a while since I've worn it. I've been wearing Patrick a lot, and occasionally I'll put Jamal on, but I wore Derek yesterday because I truly believe that the reason we were going to win this game was going to be mostly on our defense, and they did deliver. They weren't quite as dominant as I thought they might be. Like, I really thought they were going to keep them from scoring anything at all in the overtime, and when they got close, it had me slightly nervous, but I still just kept saying, I'm wearing this jersey for a reason. I'm wearing this jersey for a reason. I believe Derek Thomas's spirit was just there the entire time, looking down on this defense and blessing it all year, and especially last night. An incredible victory. To get this dynasty completely solidified is just a dream come true, really, because we all do with the dynasty, and now the fact that nobody in the national narrative can deny it even for a second. I was watching some of the first take and everything this morning, Stephen A., and they were all unanimous. Even Jeff Saturday, who usually hates us, couldn't even deny for a second that we are a true dynasty. And it's just such amazing to have Patrick doing what he does and Travis and everybody, of course, and the entire team. I was so happy specifically for guys like Tranquil and Benihue. I wish Benihue was able to play. Pinnell, even though he already has won Super Bowl with us, but to see guys like Tranquil and Benihue get these titles just makes it all the more sweeter for us, because you know that even if those guys aren't back, there's going to be a whole new crop of free agents every year that are just dying to come play with this team. And I'm thankful for that. And Patrick is truly walking up the leaderboard as we speak. He's done things that's never happened before, and he's only truly second or third to Joe Montana and Tom, and I just can't wait to see the maturation of this incredible era of football play out. I don't know if I'm going to the parade yet. I got to find out if I can get the day off of work, but let me ask you this, Dusty, and then I'll let you go, because I was going to say this last night with the ink and I forgot. Have you been to Nevada?
Like Vegas or Nevada, Missouri?
Missouri.
Yeah, I used to drive there to go to my lake house all the time.
Cool, man.
Well, I drove through there.
Right, yeah. Well, I was hoping to get there a little bit earlier and get to the winery. Have you ever been to the winery?
Nope, never been to the winery in Nevada. Never stopped in Nevada, just drove through it.
Gotcha. Well, I was hoping to hit the winery, but I couldn't. That was a bummer. But I will say that the China One Chinese place was pretty darn good. I'll give them credit for that.
There you go.
And on that note, fellas, I bid you a fair adieu. Great evening, great show. God bless the entire Chiefs Kingdom and this team.
Thanks for the phone call, Nick. or sorry, not Nick. You're Nick. That's Neil.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Sorry. Neil.
Happy to help.
Brian and KC, go ahead. Let the people hear your voice.
Hey, I just wanted to say I think the most underrated person in the Chiefs organization is probably Clark Hunt. And from the time he took over this team, the status quo was no longer acceptable. So I think it all starts with him, and I appreciate him the most.
Nice. Well, we appreciate you listening and calling in. Thanks.
I mean, seriously, though.
We even got a dog on the phone call.
Right?
Yeah. And he wanted to say
from a dog's head.
A good little boy.
You know, the Russians, they have a saying. It goes, the snake goes bad from the head down. Mm-hmm. Meaning that everything good that does happen starts from the head of the snake.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, and here's the thing about Clark Hunt that's just amazing. Is like, not only is he just comprised a group of just extraordinary people when it comes to what they do for football and for the community and everything, but like, he is a great owner because he stays out of it. He lets the guys have their shine. He's not doing Jerry Jones things and going on radio shows and talking a bunch of trash about his team. Right. He's not doing the opposite and, you know, giving bulletin board material to anybody else. He just kind of sits back and he lets his pros do their thing.
The best thing Clark Hunt ever did was not let Andy Reid leave.
Right.
And we heard that conversation that you heard in Vegas from Cody and Goal, where Andy Reid, or when Clark Hunt joined those two, and he kind of gave the story that we kind of knew. If you didn't know it, you can hear it then. But it was sitting down, Andy Reid, within 90 minutes, canceled his flight, canceled his meeting with the Arizona Cardinals, and became the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. And then, of course, we know he had Dorsey as his general manager, and Brett Veach was lower on that list. You had, Chris Ballard, who's in Indianapolis now. Yep. You had, there was another one there that I'm not thinking of. I can't remember his name. Or I guess it was Dorsey, Ballard, and then Veach was on that list. Ballard goes to Indianapolis. Dorsey can't handle doesn't know how to do contracts and money management, so he's out. And then Brett Veach takes over, and James Palmer of NFL Network talked to Brett Veach last night, and this is the interview. He says something that's so awesome at the end. It's just everybody now knows it.
Once we got into the playoffs, we locked in. I think we saw it in that Miami game. We were ready to go, and then Buffalo at Baltimore. Here at Super Bowl versus Niners, we play our best football when it matters most, man, and that's what champions do.
Last one is, you are a big reason why Patrick Mahomes is a Kansas City Chief. You've told me multiple times he's the best player you've ever seen when you were evaluating him. Now that he's won back-to-back Super Bowls here, what's your evaluation of Patrick Mahomes?
No different. I mean, I kind of thought if you just held him to a field goal, Pat will find a way, and I am not surprised at all. In fact, there was an air of confidence, in our stands. We were sitting, once they hit the field goal, we kind of all said to ourselves, we're going to win this thing. We're going to win this thing because that's how good Pat is, and that's how much faith and trust we have in him. So, he's the best, and, when you play the Chiefs, you got to score touchdowns, man. You can't put the ball on 15-10. It's game over.
Exactly, right there. You got to score touchdowns against Patrick Mahomes, because if you don't and you give Patrick Mahomes a chance to win, he's going to win. And you had to think at that very moment, when they got the ball and they went down the field and they ran the corn dog play, the Tom and Jerry, whatever you want to call it, you had to know that, like, once they got a field goal, and then Patrick Mahomes is going to get an extra down every time. But you look at Brett Veach, you look at Andy Reid, you think about Clark Hunt, you start, like you said, at the top of the snake, you go, it's the strongest at the head, right? And which can kind of put my mind in two different places. I'm going to keep it not naughty. I'm going to stay clean on my last show for a week. Yeah. I don't want to get too
and
naughty.
Make sure that you're not out for more than a week.
Yeah. Dusty's not back because he's thinking sexually things. I don't know. Anyways. And, okay. And the thing about it is, like, Clark Hunt has the worst season for a franchise, maybe in Chiefs history, right? Goes 2-12 or whatever, 2-14.
And all the things that surrounded that year,
Just not a great year.
Not a good time.
And he knew at that very moment, I've got to fix this. And Philadelphia gave Kansas City a present and said, hey, Andy Reid, it's been nice. It's been a good run, but we're going to part ways and we're going to go a different way. And Philadelphia, they got a Super Bowl, right? They got one.
Right.
And now they have their own issues again at head coach ever since Nick Sirianni.
See ya.
Yeah, how do you like that now? And you think about Andy Reid being the head coach here and what it all brings, right? And it all started with Clark Hunt, and it started with bringing Andy Reid in. And the first thing he did was take something that was old and try to fix it as best he could at the time, bringing in Alex Smith, setting the tone, taking everything out. I used to always compare it to like a garden. You know, he completely just got rid of all the access stuff that was there that didn't grow that someone left behind. He's like, you know what, this actually guy has potential. Let me put my hands and get it involved and get it growing. And, you know, sometimes when you bring things over, it doesn't work. Bob Sutton, they get him out. They bring in Tyron Matthew with Brett Veach as the GM. They get him in the office and Andy Reid and him find out who Patrick Mahomes is. So you get Clark Hunt, who brings in Andy Reid, who brings in Brett Veach, who brings in Patrick Mahomes, who changes Travis Kelce's attitude and his, I guess, go out there and play.
Kind of made him grow up, you know?
And everything that came with that. And now you're staring down three Super Bowls in 6 years. You've been to four. Patrick Mahomes is now 3-1 in Super Bowls. He has three rings. He's 28 years old, and none of it is going anywhere.
Right, and the thing about this, too, is like, you're going to get a lot of players coming to Kansas City because they not only want to play with Patrick Mahomes or they want to play with Travis Kelce, they want to play for Andy Reid. And they want to play for Brett Veach and the guys that he's put together and an owner like Clark Hunt. Like, you've got every desirable leader in that building that other people want to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes something like this sustainable. I mean, Mahomes is that was the only time that a team with their quarterback had the highest cap hit has won a Super Bowl.
Right.
It's sustainable. It's not stopping.
Somebody says from the text on the 913, Dusty, let's take a trip to Detroit for the draft. And then they followed up with, do you need me to bring the Lombardi trophy by the station? I don't know who that is, but
bring it up.
Whatever you want to do, man.
Yeah.
As long as it's the Lombardi trophy and nothing else, because last year Batman said he was going to reveal himself to us.
And
that didn't happen.
No.
Luckily. And
thankfully.
And then this year he said he's going to give us a hug.
Yes. So, which is, yeah.
We're maturing.
We're working, we're working towards the right kind of thing here.
There you go. Yeah, and also Andy Reid coming in. You know what I mean? That brings in Steve Spagnuolo, right?
Right.
You get rid of Bob Sutton, you bring in somebody else, and ever since that, it's changed. You have almost like a dream team of a coaching staff. And oh, by the way, Eric Bieniemy might be coming back, right? So now you're going to have basically Nagy, Bieniemy, Spags, all the other guys below them, and this team's not going to go anywhere anytime soon. Coming up on the other side, they said a lot of key things last night, right? We'll play the highlights. We'll get you back onto the side of what the Chiefs were and what they're going forward towards, which is a three-peat. Never been done in football. Wouldn't that be something to look forward to? And I can't imagine that it's going to go by any slower, because it's not. Because the next thing you know, I'm going to blink and we're going to be in St. Joe again, avoiding tornadoes and storms and all that sort of thing. So you're listening to After Hours. That's James, Nick, I'm Dusty. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about what needs to happen for a three-peat and all the players involved or who may not be involved when we get to that situation. This is 610 Sports Radio.
City wins the game 25-22, and the Chiefs kingdom has started its own history class, because for the first time in 6,944 days, there is a back-to-back Super Bowl champion.
6,000 days? That's just crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's hard to like wrap your mind around how long it's been.
Yeah, I still can't get over this one. So great.
어쩌면 우리는 역사상 최고의 선수와 NFL 역사상 최고의 팀을 목격했는지도 모르겠습니다. 캔자스티 칩스 5년 동안 세 번째 우승, 2년 연속 슈퍼볼. 패트릭 마홈스 전설의 반열에 올랐습니다.
패트릭 마홈스. Korean national.
So good, man.
Oh, man.
That's so good.
So great. This game in general, it felt weird because, right, like some certain things had gone your way, right? Christian McCaffrey fumbles on their first drive where they seemingly kind of just kept going. And they didn't take advantage of it, right? They got 0 points off that. And then Isaiah Pacheco fumbles.
Right.
And I kept telling myself when I watched this game, and we kind of give the roses to Spags here with the defense, San Francisco wasn't scoring either. And that was like the positive side of this whole thing. And that was what was so great about this team this year, is that their offense could falter. Their defense had their back. And this was the biggest game and the most important time ever to have your back was in this situation. And you kept looking down the score being like, okay, it's only 3-0. It's only 3-0. Okay, it's 7-3. Okay, it's, you know, whatever. And you look at what this game was, and it was another example of your defense keeping you in it. And then when Mahomes had to turn it on, Mahomes turned it on. And in the fourth quarter and overtime, Mahomes was, again, that greatest player on the planet.
And I think that this game in particular and this season and how it all panned out really shows you, like, this is the more sustainable way to go about it, of have that rock-solid defense that you know is always going to keep you in games, keep you hanging around no matter what, and let Patrick Mahomes do his thing at the end of games when he's down by a score. Or, you know, I mean, like, his record being down 10 points in the playoffs, he's 5-1.
Yeah.
And everybody else combined in, like, the last 5 years has 6 wins and, like, 50-something losses. Like, it's ridiculous. But the key is, like, don't let it get worse than 10 points. And this defense, if they're able to keep these guys around, is set up for success in that way, because you can draft some skill position players. Now, they're not going to be Tyreek Hill. You know, Travis Kelce's going to hang it up someday. Right. I don't think that day is today.
No. I think it's after next year if they win another one, for sure.
You got to go for the three-peat. And I think that, like, you know, there's a lot of question marks going into this team. Is like, there's a lot of free agents. Obviously, you have the two big ones of Jones and Snead, right? Uh-huh. But then you've also got Mike Dana, Willie Gay, Donovan Smith, Clyde, Jerick McKinnon, Drew Tranquil, Mike Edwards, Derek Nnadi, Turk Wharton, Tommy Townsend, Mecole Hardman, Richie James, Blaine Gabbert, Nick Allegretti, Blake Bell, Deion Bush, James Winchester. It's a lot of guys. It's a long list. And I think that, you know, there's obviously two or three names on there that you really, really want to keep around.
Right.
And the other guys can kind of be, you can fill that role with some draft picks and some supplemental guys. And
sure,
you're going to bring some of these guys back on some cheap deals. But when it comes to, like, sustaining this success, I mean, it's keep solidifying that defense, keep getting younger, keep drafting that defense. But if there's a way that they can bring Chris Jones, L'Jarius Sneed, and Drew Tranquil back for this defense, or Willie Gay, that's the answer.
Yep. And one thing we do know is Brett Veach is very strict on how it goes. It is what it is, man. Just enjoy the ride. Go to the parade. Soak it all up. Watch it with your kids. Have fun. You know, they don't have to always understand what's going on. Even if they're, like, a little younger, you got, you know, a little lady, little man next to you. You want to be like, hey, this is, you know, it's fun. It's attractive to watch. You don't know how long this will last, or if, you know, who you'll be with when it does happen. And somebody from the text line, before the playoffs, I thought the toughest path possible was Miami, Buffalo, Baltimore, San Francisco. Done. To be the best, you got to beat the best. And then a Ric Flair.
Woo!
Somebody says, Dusty, we need to pay Chris Jones. He's all elite. He's good. He's good. But I don't think they want to go through that process that they went through last year that was so annoying.
I think it's going to be something where, like, it's either going to happen really quickly or it's not going to happen, and that's okay.
Or they tag him and we do it all over again, and we do an incentive-heavy contract.
Back, yeah.
From the 253. I don't recognize that area code, but says, my dad passed away about 8 years ago, and yesterday was his birthday. My brothers and I concluded that he and DT were partying in the kingdom in the sky. No doubt about it.
No doubt.
No doubt. We'll finish this topic off, and we will go to Phil and Shawnee. Phil, like others, let the people hear your voice.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You, brother.
Well, I'll tell you, there used to be a rule back in the early 80s that you don't let George Brett beat you. That's what Sparky Anderson used to say, because every time Brett got to the plate in a tie game or a game where they were down with a guy on base, Brett would hit a home run and Sparky would throw his hat. I think most coaches in the NFL have got to realize that Patrick Mahomes is George Brett now. You just can't let him beat you. You have to get ahead by 7 or 8 points late in the game or he's going to beat you. And I think who's the coach for the Niners?
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan should have learned that lesson. And when he was down inside the 10-yard line in the overtime, he should have been throwing the ball instead of running the ball, because you're not going to score a touchdown running the ball inside the 10-yard line. You're just not. They did get one pass off, but that's when they forgot to block Chris Jones, and he blew up the play, but that was on third down. On second down, they ran the ball and got nothing. And they had to get seven there. I mean, if 49er fans are gritting their teeth, they're gritting their teeth over not being up seven late.
No doubt about it. Thanks for the phone call, Phil. We appreciate the time. Coming up on the other side, we wrap this show up in what was such a beautiful thing that you probably saw when you woke up this morning via social media, but we'll remind you again of what it was. It's awesome when your foes have to give you your rose. I'm Dusty Likens. That's James. That's Nick. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. It's funny how the universe will speak to you. I'm just like scrolling Instagram through the break, and the first thing that comes up just says, okay, I'll admit it, I'm dramatic. It's like they know me too well.
Me? Dramatic? No.
No way.
They've been listening to you.
Apparently. Apparently. After Hours on 610 Sports Radio on a Victory Monday, Super Bowl victory, Super Bowl 58 and 57 champions. And what was the one they won in San Francisco? Super Bowl 52?
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
54. 54, 57, 58.
Not too shabby.
Not
I think
all.
That game last night, too. I mean, obviously, you know, there's the added emotion and everything for, like, watching your hometown team. But I think that was the best game, like, football game I've ever watched.
Outside of, what was that one, though? Was it the Chargers and the Raiders that they could have tied and both made the playoffs?
Yeah, that was a great game, too. That was a great game. But, I mean, like, the gravity of the moment, the Super Bowl, going to overtime, like, back and forth, and James and I were talking before this about, like, it wasn't just a shootout. It wasn't just offense. It was great offense, great defense, great special teams play. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the full package of what the NFL has to offer, and it was the best it's ever been last night.
I mean, shootouts are always fun. Like, they're always super exciting to watch. But when you get two teams together like that, like, the problem I have with shootouts is that there's no defense.
Right.
Are you really that great of a team if you don't have any defense? But both of these teams that we saw last night, they had both good defenses, good offenses, respectable special teams. I mean, just well-rounded teams. And we've seen the best of the best go at it. It was like an all-Madden game or an old-school Pro Bowl game.
Yeah. Yeah, where they didn't score back in the day. I thought it was interesting that it was always like, who's going to – because, like, each team – messed up, right? Like, Mahomes throws that interception. Probably not a good decision, but he threw an interception. Isaiah Pacheco fumbled. Christian McCaffrey fumbled. And then their special teams player, that ball hit him on the foot. I mean, that game was a nail biter. I doubt anybody has nails left. If you painted your nails, you probably need to repaint them today. You probably don't have a lot of – you're probably tired. You're probably a little sluggish today because you were emotionally drained. Maybe you were, you know, the booze took a little bit out of you as well. You all right? Yeah, took a little bit out of you. There you go.
Yeah. It's like 9 p.m. almost, and I finally feel like a normal person again.
Oh, dude, it's crazy.
I mean, I'm sweating like crazy over here. But
you're normal again, though?
Yeah, I'm normal again.
Yeah, there are your microphones on.
See,
now.
So, like, I'm not even quite normal again because I forgot to turn on my mic, but – you know, it's been a day. It's been a day, brother.
I was going to see if you recognize that.
Thank you to James for being like, hey, your mic's not on.
That's so great. I was just going to let you keep doing it. I'm just a jerk.
I was going to do the rest of the show just being picked up on your mic that's like 6 feet away from me.
It's so funny. I was just going to let you keep going.
That's how it is. That's how it was today.
How do you like Mitch Holtis a lot? He's, you know, pretty damn good. How about Kevin Harlan?
First and goal at the three. Lining up in the clock at 10 seconds and ticking. In the shotgun, Mahomes. Four-man front, receiver in motion, low snap. He runs and he throws, caught, touchdown! It's caught! Hardman caught the ball! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won! The entire bench empties! Chasing Mahomes in the end zone! Their third Super Bowl in 5 years! The Chiefs are back-to-back! Super Bowl champions! It is a dynasty! The Chiefs have won Super Bowl 58, 25-22! in overtime.
And for those of you that bet the under in that game, you are so excited. They didn't have to kick that field goal as the over-under that game was 47.5, at least the last time I saw it, and the final score is 47.
47.
So just right there.
Hey, you got that blocked extra point earlier in the game, too, or else you would have been done. But
counting your lucky stars.
Kevin Harlan's got to be like the best big game voice out there.
He just knows what he's doing.
I love listening to that guy call games.
Imagine that. The Chiefs went from Tony Gonzalez to Travis Kelce, and they went from Kevin Harlan to Mitch Holtis.
Right.
Like, they just always know where to find certain positions of greatness. And one thing I thought was funny, as you wrap this up, and a lot of people kind of piggybacked on a lot of what was going on towards the end. Some people had certain tweets about it. Cody Tapp had one as well. So I'll give him a little bit of credit there. But how great was it that the Chiefs, for all those years in the 90s and early or late 80s with John Elway, mid 80s, late 80s, 90s, John Elway in the Broncos, and all the times they beat you up, and then Peyton Manning came in and they beat you up, and now all of a sudden the Chiefs, it's not even close. They've got their own island, right? They're on their own island. It's not a mountain. It's not a hotel. It's an island, and no one else lives there except the Chiefs. And it was crazy last night that the Chiefs beat Kyle Shanahan and Christian McCaffrey. You take back time and you go look, and Mike Shanahan, who was the coach obviously for the Broncos, beat his son, right? Mm-hmm. Now that he gets to see it. Ed McCaffrey, great receiver for the Broncos, beat his son, and he had to watch that after he beat you all those years. And then the glory of it all, the best thing about last night that made me almost cry, was John Elway and his ugly ass bringing that Lombardi trophy and handing it to Patrick Mahomes, who now has more Super Bowls than John Elway ever will have. And he's 28, and John got his in the last 2 years of his career after trying for so many years to get it. And Elway had to just have a smile on his face, hating every minute of his life, to be like, here you go, Patrick. Here's your third Super Bowl trophy. All right, I'm going to go and cry now.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, made the Super Bowl sink in. And then you throw in the fact that it's like Super Bowl 58. Clark had lost his mother.
Right,
so
Norma.
The original Hunt family no longer around. And Clark Hunt now, with this franchise, can sit back and just enjoy everything because of what he has. And to have John Elway hand him the trophy on the 58 of Derek Thomas and all that sort of stuff. It's just kind of like at that moment, after you're celebrating and doing live videos and you're completely well overserved on soda. And, then you see that happen with the ceremonies. You're like, son of a buck, look at this. And it was just that.
It's perfect.
That to me was like, that was the rainbow at the end of the day. That was the feet on the ottoman and the cigar in your hand. Because the other thing, remember when the Chiefs lost to the Raiders on Christmas Day and Max Crosby was smoking cigars in Kansas City?
Mm-hmm.
Guess who was smoking cigars last night in Vegas in that team's locker room? The Kansas City Chiefs. And guess what they got to do? Win a Super Bowl. Whereas the Vegas Raiders, got to win their Super Bowl on Christmas in another stadium. The Chiefs got to win their actual Super Bowl in their stadium, smoke cigars in their stadium, and spray champagne all over the damn walls.
Can't wait until the Raiders show back up to that stadium and it just smells like stale beer and cigar smoke and champagne splattered all over Max Crosby's locker.
Mm.
And they're not going to get there.
No.
They're not going to get there because Patrick Mahomes is going to run this division for the rest of his career, and there's nothing you can do about it.
The last show is always bittersweet.
I know.
Right? This is the last one. Now we got to gear up for the offseason. You got a stadium location being announced tomorrow for
pitchers
the Royals.
Pitchers and catchers, man.
That's tomorrow, right?
That's tomorrow, I think, yeah.
Cole Reagans and Sal Perez going to be the ace of the staff this year.
Yeah.
We go from Royals talk to Chiefs talk. Your Jayhawks are – it's not good at half.
No, it's not.
Down by nine.
Down nine.
Seen worse. From the 816, Dusty, you carried me through the season. Thanks to the blind man. Thank you for listening for this season. I appreciate it. I owe it to all of you that listen to this show and continue to support this program. I appreciate both of you. I know this is, year one, James? This is your first Super Bowl run as the producer. So, I know it's hectic. I know it's wild doing the Chiefs Kingdom show and all the crazy things that go on behind the scenes there. You did a very well job for me, sir, and I appreciate and grateful for you for everything in that regard as well. So I appreciate you very much. Nick, you as well, man. Thanks for being my right-hand man.
It's been so fun. It's been really fun to be on this side with you.
Yeah.
This year,
Yeah.
And let's go for a three-peat.
I would love that. No one else has done it in the NFL. Why not us? Football runs this town right now. I love this text from the 913. This one's from John. I used to always hate that. RIP to that man. I forget his name, but this one's for John. I used to puke seeing Denver win Super Bowls, and now I don't have to worry about it anymore, ever. But yeah, this is my last show for the week. I'm gonna take some time off. I'm gonna rest the vocal cords. Go drink like a medicine ball from Starbucks for the next 3 days. Look myself in the mirror and check it out one time. Be like, all right, what can we do to improve this, man? You got some things you can change, but that's always the best part about the off season. So again, thanks everybody. Thanks for Pete coming in tonight. Thanks for all the phone calls, Neil, Dan, Batman, John, Brian, all those guys that joined the show. And I don't know if I got all those names right, but I hope I did. I'll talk to you in a week. Again, James, thanks again, man. I know that job ain't easy, man. I've done it. I've been there. I know exactly how
they can bring Chris Jones, Legarius Sneed, and Drew Tranquil back for this defense, or right. Willie Gay. That's the answer.
Yep. And one thing we do know is Brett Veach is very strict on on how it goes. It is what it is, man. Just enjoy the ride. Go to the parade. Soak it all up. Watch it with your kids. Have fun. You know, they don't have to always understand what's going on. Even if they're like a little younger, you got, you know, a little lady, little man next to you. You want to be like, hey, this is, you know, it's fun. It's attractive to watch. You don't know how long this will last, or if, you know, who you'll be with when it does happen. And somebody from the text line, before the playoffs, I thought the toughest path possible was Miami, Buffalo, Baltimore, San Francisco. Done. To be the best, you got to beat the best. And then a Ric Flair.
Woo!
Somebody says, Dusty, we need to pay Chris Jones. He's all elite. He's good. He's good. But I don't think they want to go through that process that they went through last year that was so annoying.
I think it's going to be something where, like, it's either going to happen really quickly or it's not going to happen, and that's okay.
Or they tag him and we do it all over again, and we do an incentive-heavy contract.
Back, yeah.
From the 253. I don't recognize that area code, but says, my dad passed away about 8 years ago, and yesterday was his birthday. My brothers and I concluded that he and DT were partying in the kingdom in the sky. No doubt about it.
No doubt.
No doubt. We'll finish this topic off, and we will go to Phil and Shawnee. Phil, like others, let the people hear your voice.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You, brother.
Well, I'll tell you, there used to be a rule back in the early 80s that you don't let George Brett beat you. That's what Sparky Anderson used to say, because every time Brett got to the plate in a tie game or a game where they were down with a guy on base, Brett would hit a home run and Sparky would throw his hat. I think most coaches in the NFL have got to realize that Patrick Mahomes is George Brett now. You just can't let him beat you. You have to get ahead by 7 or 8 points late in the game or he's going to beat you. And I think who's the coach for the Niners?
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan should have learned that lesson. And when he was down inside the 10-yard line in the overtime, he should have been throwing the ball instead of running the ball, because you're not going to score a touchdown running the ball inside the 10-yard line. Mm. You're just not. Mm. And they did get one pass off, but that's when they forgot to block Chris Jones, and he blew up the play, but that was on third down. On second down, they ran the ball and got nothing. And they had to get 7 there. I mean, if 49er fans are gritting their teeth, they're gritting their teeth over not being up 7 late.
No doubt about it. Thanks for the phone call, Phil. We appreciate the time. Coming up on the other side, we wrap this show up in what was such a beautiful thing that you probably saw when you woke up this morning via social media, but we'll remind you again of what it was. It's awesome when your foes have to give you your rose. I'm Dusty Likens. That's James. That's Nick. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. It's funny how the universe will speak to you. I'm just like scrolling Instagram through the break, and the first thing that comes up just says, okay, I'll admit it, I'm dramatic. It's like they know me too well.
Me? Dramatic? No.
No way.
They've been listening to you.
Apparently. Apparently. After Hours on 610 Sports Radio on a Victory Monday, Super Bowl victory, Super Bowl 58 and 57 champions. And what was the one they won in San Francisco? Super Bowl 52?
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
54. 54, 57, 58.
Not too shabby.
I think
that game last night, too. I mean, obviously, you know, there's the added emotion and everything for, like, watching your hometown team. But I think that was the best game, like football game, I've ever watched.
Outside of what was that one though? Was it the Chargers and the Raiders that they could have tied and both made the playoffs?
Yeah, that was a great game too. That was a great game. But I mean, like the gravity of the moment, the Super Bowl going to overtime, like back and forth. And James and I were talking before this about, like, it wasn't just a shootout. It wasn't just offense. It was great offense, great defense, great special teams play. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the full package of what the NFL has to offer, and it was the best it's ever been last night.
I mean, shootouts are always fun. Like, they're always super exciting to watch. But when you get two teams together like that, like, the problem I have with shootouts is that there's no defense.
Right.
You're not, are you a really that great of a team if you don't have any defense? But both of these teams that we saw last night, they had both good defenses, good offenses, respectable special teams. I mean, just well-rounded teams, and we've seen the best of the best go at it. It was like an all-Madden game or an old-school Pro Bowl game.
Yeah. Yeah, where they didn't score back in the day. I thought it was interesting that it was always like, who's going to – because, like, each team messed up, right? Like, Mahomes throws that interception. Probably not a good decision, but he threw an interception. Isaiah Pacheco fumbled. Christian McCaffrey fumbled. And then their special teams player, that ball hit him on the foot. I mean, that game was a nail-biter. I doubt anybody has nails left. If you painted your nails, you probably need to repaint them today. You probably don't have a lot of – you're probably tired. You're probably a little sluggish today because you were emotionally drained. Maybe you were, you know, the booze took a little bit out of you as well. You all right? Yeah, took a little bit out of you. There you go.
Yeah. It's like 9 p.m. almost, and I finally feel like a normal person.
Ah, dude, it's crazy.
I mean, I'm sweating like crazy over here. But
you're normal again, though?
Yeah, I'm normal again.
Yeah, there are your microphones on.
See,
now.
So, like, I'm not even quite normal again because I forgot to turn on my mic, but... You know, it's been a day. It's been a day, brother.
I was going to see if you recognize that.
Thank you to James for being like, hey, your mic's not on.
That's
man.
So come great. I was just going to let you keep doing it. I'm just a jerk.
I was going to do the rest of the show just being picked up on your mic that's like 6 feet away from me.
It's so funny. I was just going to let you keep going.
That's how it is. That's how it was today.
How do you like Mitch Holtis a lot? He's, you know, pretty damn good. How about Kevin Harlan?
First and goal at the three. Lining up in the clock at 10 seconds and ticking. In the shotgun, Mahomes. Four-man front, receiver in motion, low snap. He runs and he throws, caught, touchdown. It's caught. Hardman caught the ball. The Chiefs have won. The Chiefs have won. The entire bench empties, chasing Mahomes in the end zone. Their third Super Bowl in 5 years. The Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions. It is a dynasty. The Chiefs have won Super Bowl 58, 25, 22 in overtime.
And for those of you that bet the under in that game, you are so excited. They didn't have to kick that field goal as the over under that game was 47.5. At least the last time I saw it, and the final score is 47. So just right there.
Hey, you got that blocked extra point earlier in the game too, or else you would have been done. But
counting your lucky stars.
Kevin Harlan's got to be like the best big game voice out there.
He just knows what he's doing.
I love that guy. I love listening to that guy call games.
Imagine that. The Chiefs went from Tony Gonzalez to Travis Kelce. And they went from Kevin Harlan to Mitch Holtis.
Right.
Like, they just always know where to find certain positions of greatness. And one thing I thought was funny, as you wrap this up, and a lot of people kind of piggybacked on a lot of what was going on towards the end. Some people had certain tweets about it. Cody Tapp had one as well. So I'll give him a little bit of credit there. But how great was it that the Chiefs, for, you know, all those years in the 90s and early or late 80s with John Elway, mid 80s, late 80s, 90s, John Elway in the Broncos, and all the times they beat you up, and then Peyton Manning came in and they beat you up, and now all of a sudden the Chiefs, it's not even close. They've got their own island, right? They're on their own island. It's not a mountain, it's not a hotel, it's an island, and no one else lives there except the Chiefs. And it was crazy last night that the Chiefs beat Kyle Shanahan and Christian McCaffrey. You take back time and you go look, and Mike Shanahan, who was the coach obviously for the Broncos, beat his son, right? Now that he gets to see it. Ed McCaffrey, great receiver for the Broncos, beat his son, and he had to watch that after he beat you all those years. And then the glory of it all, the best thing about last night that made me almost cry, was John Elway and his ugly ass bringing that Lombardi trophy and handing it to Patrick Mahomes, who now has more Super Bowls than John Elway ever will have. And he's 28. And John got his in the last 2 years of his career after trying for so many years to get it. And Elway had to just have a smile on his face, hating every minute of his life, to be like, here you go, Patrick. Here's your third Super Bowl trophy. All right, I'm going to go and cry now.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, made the Super Bowl sink in. And then you throw in the fact that it's like Super Bowl 58. Clark had lost his mother.
Right,
so
Norma.
The original Hunt family no longer around. And Clark Hunt now, with this franchise, can sit back and just enjoy everything because of what he has. And to have John Elway hand him the trophy on the 58 of Derek Thomas and all that sort of stuff, it just kind of like at that moment, it, you know, after you're celebrating and doing live videos and you're completely well overserved on soda, and you know, then you see that happen with the ceremonies, you're like, son of a buck, look at this. And it was just that.
It's perfect.
That to me was like, that was the rainbow at the end of the day. That was the feet on the ottoman and the cigar in your hand. Because the other thing, remember when the Chiefs lost to the Raiders on Christmas Day and Max Crosby was smoking cigars in Kansas City?
Mm-hmm.
Guess who was smoking cigars last night in Vegas in that team's locker room? The Kansas City Chiefs. And guess what they got to do? Win a Super Bowl. Whereas the Raiders, the Vegas Raiders, got to win their Super Bowl on Christmas in another stadium. The Chiefs got to win their actual Super Bowl in their stadium, smoke cigars in their stadium, and spray champagne all over the damn walls.
Can't wait until the Raiders show back up to that stadium and it just smells like stale beer and cigar smoke and champagne splattered all over Max Crosby's locker.
Mm.
And they're not going to get there.
No.
You know, they're not going to get there because Patrick Mahomes is going to run this division for the rest of his career, and there's nothing you can do about it.
The last show is always bittersweet.
I know.
Right? This is the last one. Now we got to gear up for the offseason. You got a stadium location being announced tomorrow for the Royals.
Pitchers and catchers, man.
That's tomorrow, right?
That's tomorrow, I think, yeah.
Cole Reagans and Sal Perez going to be the ace of the staff this year.
Yeah.
We go from Royals talk to Chiefs talk. Your Jayhawks are – it's not good at half.
No, it's not.
Down by nine.
Down nine.
Seen worse. From the 816, Dusty, you carried me through the season. Thanks to the blind man. Thank you for listening for this season. I appreciate it. I owe it to all of you that listen to this show and continue to support this program. I appreciate both of you. I know this is, what, year one, James? This is your first Super Bowl run as the producer. So, I mean, I know it's hectic. I know it's wild doing the Chiefs Kingdom show and all the crazy things that go on behind the scenes there. You did a very well job for me, sir, and I appreciate and grateful for you for everything in that regard as well. So I appreciate you very much. Nick, you as well, man. Thanks for being my right-hand man.
It's been so fun. It's been really fun to be on this side with you.
Yeah.
This year, you know?
Yeah.
And let's go for a three-peat.
I would love that. No one else has done it in the NFL. Why not us? Football runs this town right now. I love this text from the 913. This one's from John. I used to always hate that. R.I.P. to that man. I forget his name, but this one's for John. I used to puke seeing Denver win Super Bowls, and now I don't have to worry about it anymore. Ever. But yeah, this is my last show for the week. I'm gonna take some time off. I'm gonna rest the vocal cords, go drink like a medicine ball from Starbucks for the next 3 days. Look myself in the mirror and check it out one time. Be like, all right, what can we do to improve this, man? You got some things you can change, but that's always the best part about the off season. So again, thanks everybody. Thanks for Pete coming in tonight. Thanks for all the phone calls, Neil, Dan, Batman, John, Brian, all those guys that joined the show. And I don't know if I got all those names right, but I hope I did. I'll talk to you in a week. Again, James, thanks again, man. I know that job ain't easy, man. I've done it. I've been there. I know exactly how it is, and I appreciate everything that you've done for this season, for this show. So
you bet, bud. I wouldn't rather be any other place in the world than right here in this studio with y'all.
That's right, Big Daddy.
Nick, best place to be on Monday nights, right, man.
And as we do every single Monday night, Kansas City, go do nice things for people. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's cool to care. Be safe and be kind. Tomorrow, I'm sure the shows will still be the same for at least one more week. Maybe. We'll see if Pete Sweeney makes it, see if Dana makes it. Nate Taylor, also a big announcement tomorrow for your Kansas City Royals in their new stadium. I'll let the music play you out, and you enjoy this victory Monday. Kansas City, good night. I love you. Take care. We'll talk to you in a week.